Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Romans chapter 9. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, if you're able. Starting at verse 24. Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and their beloved who is not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of the Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word is truth. Father, for you are in control of all things. As we've been talking about, you are sovereign. You are in control of all things. The work that you have planned for all people is being played out even now in this day. Lord, I pray that as believers, that our eyes would be even more open to the truth of your word and what's happening around us. Bless, Lord, I pray our ears. We pray that you would bind the enemy from trying to snatch your word from our hearts. Let it grow into a place in our hearts that becomes the prominent place, that we see Christ all that much clearer. So bless this time, Lord, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in verse 24, we see that Paul is quoting from Hosea in both these verses. It's 220. Verse chapter 2, verse 23, and chapter 1, verse 10, respectively, they both are spoken of Israel. But Paul, here in these verses, this verse, is alluding to the church. Interesting, isn't it? In fact, Peter goes, of the salvation of the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, Gentiles. Added Gentiles. That's who he was speaking to. James says, so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Paul goes on to say, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. In Ephesians, I know I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture here, folks. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles were in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. Church. He's speaking of the church. So does this abolish Israel? See, there's a teaching now that's going around in the churches that's very dangerous. And I'll say it because it's very, if you will, it's the prominent teaching in the churches, and it's called replacement theology. See, all the promises that were given to Israel are now for the church. But if that's true, then we have to go through a bunch of stuff here. And that's what we are going to go through. Look at verse 27. You know, it's interesting. I meant to read all those. Oh, well, let's look at 27. Isaiah also cries out concerning, who is he crying out to? Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Now he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 10. Let me read it to you. It says this. the remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob to the mighty God. For though, listen, your people Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. He was the destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts will make determined end in the midst of the land. In verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Two things, remember something. That there has always been a remnant of the Lord of the Jewish people. Now, the first is what you would say was should be. And what we just talked about was the church. What's that? They come to Christ. They see Jesus as their Messiah. But there's something else that we've learned through history and the Word of God. There's always been a remnant of Jewish people throughout the world. It's the only people, we've talked about this, in the history of mankind that without a nation, they still survive. And only by the miracle of God. They've been persecuted wherever they went. Everybody hates the Jews. Now, knowing this, if God had not dispersed the people, then they probably would have been demolished. But there was a time that they were dispersed. And because of that, again, it kept them from being completely destroyed. Notice the persecution was always cut short. See, throughout history, they've tried to exterminate the Jews. Genocide that you're hearing about in the Middle East is not about the Palestinians. Understand something. There are about 15.7 million Jews in the whole world. 15.7 million Jews in the whole world. Do you know how many Muslims there are in the world? 1.9 billion and growing. They are the fastest religion growing. And please understand something. They hate the Jews. They want to demolish them. Think with me. If they were so concerned about the Palestinians, why didn't they open their borders to them? There's not that many Palestinians. Egypt won't even open their borders to them. Why? Why such a hatred? Why? Now, understand something. In Jeremiah 31, listen again, says this. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by day, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances, talking about sun for day, moon for night, stars, sea. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Can the heavens be measured? You know, they keep saying it's expanding. They can't measure it. Did the sun come up this morning? Did you see the moon recently? This is God's word. God has promised it. God has declared it. They are God's chosen people. Now, it doesn't take away from that. We are chosen also. We are chosen people too. Also in Amos, it says this, chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. For surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all the nations as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. They will exist. That's what a miracle that we're seeing even to this day. Persecution of the Jew has risen tremendously throughout the world. I've saw numbers of like 400% and even more. In this country, just up to date in June, over 8,000 attacks on Jews. On the college campuses, you see anti-Semitism. You see that Jews can't even go to their classes. Why such a hateful, hatred towards these people? A lot of it has to do with the fact that Jesus came from the Jews. I know that might be a surprise to some of you. Jesus wasn't European, okay? He's from Israel. He was a Jew. And sometimes that surprises us because we always see blonde hair, blue eyes portraying Jesus. He was darker skin. And Scripture says that there was nothing in his physical appearance that was appeasing to people. So why such a hatred? Listen to Zechariah chapter 12. Let me make sure I got this right. Yeah. Hatred. Excuse me a second. It's like I said, I got a lot here. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. When they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth are gathered against it. That's why we see it. All the nations hate the Jewish people. They are chosen by God. But why did they get back there? How did they get back there? Well, it's interesting. On May 14th, 1948, they became a nation. Why is that so significant? Because in Isaiah 66, verse 8, it says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. One day I will make a nation and surprise the world. On May 14th, 1948, the Jews became a nation. Scattered throughout the world since the time of 70 AD, now all of a sudden all these people are coming back. Now understand something. At first it is going to be an unbelief. In Ezekiel 36, verses 24 and 28, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. Now notice, this is secondary. First, they come. He brings them all to them. What happened? After the Holocaust, they realized something. The world was against them. Except for United States, the Christian nation. Interesting. They played the biggest part in making Israel a nation. Harry Truman believed in the Bible and he believed that God had a purpose for them. And that was their land. So he agreed that they needed to go back to their land. That was theirs. In Isaiah chapter 11, it says this, it shall come to pass in that day the Lord shall set his hand against the second time, listen, to recover the remnant of his people who are left. Now, why that's so important is that scripture right there is, again, the church is, some of the people in the church and the world says they have no purpose of being there. But again, God says here in Isaiah that the second time he's going to regather them. When was the first time? Well, the first time was when they were sent to Assyria and Babylon. That was the first time. The second time has never happened until 1948. This is the second time. God called them to that land because God gave them that land. And he said that that land is theirs forever. As long as, again, that their sun shines and the moon shines. That land is theirs. It's interesting to see again the world against it. Such hatred. Why? Again, I have to bring you to this. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, it says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Okay, you're going, what? What does that all mean? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's dig into that. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 12. Keep your finger or something to hold Romans chapter 9 and bless you, the sneezer. What's that? Augustus. Leave it to Brian. Just want to set myself up here. Whenever I have too many papers up here, sometimes I get. My niece laughs at me. Why don't you get an iPad? No, I shall not. I enjoy my flip phone too. Judge me if you like. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and on her head a garland of a star. Who is this? Now, and I was just a wee little lad, a very wise man, when I said, what's the best commentary on the Bible? He said to me, honest truth, he goes, the Bible. I go, no, I want to know. I want to learn more about the New Testament. He goes, then learn the Old Testament. He goes, see, if you want to know the New Testament, learn the Old Testament. When you learn the Old Testament, you'll understand the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's one book. It's one story. It's all about Christ. That's the center of the book. The Jews before Christ, we after Christ. But it's all about Christ. The Jews were looking for their Messiah. We have found him. And now we live in his grace, his mercy, his strength, and his peace. So to understand exactly what he's talking about, we have to go to the Old Testament. And please give me a second because I know I have the scripture here. I just have to find it. And if I have to look it up, I will. I thought I had it there. Shame on me. Okay, so it's in Genesis chapter 37. I'm just going to turn there. You don't have to. And it's verses 9 through 11. I must not have put that in there. It says this. Remember when Joseph was having those dreams and his brothers didn't like it? This is one of those dreams. Verse 9, it says this. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. What is this? So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? So what would Jacob, his wife, and sons represent? And Jacob's name shall be called Israel. This is the nation Israel, which makes sense. Where did Jesus come from? Came from the Jewish nation. The nation, again, we can clarify as Israel. So the women clothed with the sun, the moon, and her feet, on her head was a garland of 12 stars, is Israel. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. Give birth to who? And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Who is this? Drop down to verse 9 so you can just completely understand. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Period. It's Satan. So we have Israel giving birth to a child. Satan is there ready to devour. Who is this child? First, let's look at verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, a third of the angels, threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Who could this be? Well, it's Jesus. Again, how do we know this? Because in Psalm chapter 2, I will declare a decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. It's Jesus. So the picture here is understanding something. Remember something. Satan knows the Bible better than you do. Satan knew the prophecies. He knew the Messiah was coming. What happened when Jesus was born? Remember what Herod did? Herod wanted him dead. So Rachel was weeping for her young. Why? Because he sent soldiers to kill all the kids 2 years younger around Bethlehem, trying to devour this child. Why? Because the Messiah was coming, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. So Satan, again, was ready to devour. Now, what has he done since then? He's persecuted the mother, as we just read, but also the offspring. Verse 6, it says, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she was placed, prepared for God, that she should feed there for 1,260 days, which now gets us into tribulation period. It's called Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is also another word for the tribulation period. Jacob being Israel. Israel being the one that's in trouble. Where's the church? Right now we're living in what's called the time of the Gentiles or the church age. The church will be gone. You and I will be gone. Now, please, so many people get this misunderstood in the fact that, well, wait a minute, that Bible says we're going to be persecuted. The Bible says we're going to go through struggles and trials. Yes, I don't know what's going to happen in this country. But that's not to be afraid of. Why? Because God says that he'll be with us through whatever persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, don't you think they're going to persecute you? They hated me. Don't you think they're going to hate you? This turn against the Jews and the Christians is because Satan hates the offspring of what Jesus Christ did. Christians. You, the Jews and what they represent. He also knows history. He knows what's going to happen with those Jews. He knows. But he also knows something else. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back with a sword. Satan knows his time, just as we read, is limited. He's ramping it up. And what's interesting is in 2 Thessalonians, it speaks of as the Spirit, as he is taken out, as the church goes out, that's the influence the Spirit has in this world is through the church. Morally, spiritually, everything good that God has to represent right now is in the church. Doesn't that humble you? You are the face of Christ. Each one of us. Christian means little Christ. You have been presented really of the hope of the world. And if you will, that's what the Jews represent too. The hope, the love, the truth, the promises. The word came, I don't know if you know this, but except for Luke and Acts, Luke wrote both of them, this is all written by Jews. Really? Yes. We owe a lot to the Jews. And that's why we should be supporting the Jews. We should be their biggest allies. Knowing that this world is coming to a conclusion. Now, again, understand that this is now the time of the Gentiles. The church will be gone. Now, why do I say that? If you look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, if you look at Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, a couple times it says, the church will not suffer the wrath of God. Tribulation, period, is the wrath of God. The church won't be in that. Now, if you say, well, it's mid, it's the beginning, we don't know. And some believe post. I don't see how that works. It's not, you know, there's some weak, there is some passages, but it's kind of weak. Because God says, I will save you from my wrath. Jacob, though, will go through the trouble. They'll go through the wrath. Now, again, what happens with the Jews is when they take over, if you will, when again, the focus isn't on the church anymore, it goes to the nation Israel. In chapter 7 of Revelation, it says 144,000 Jews from 12 of the tribes of Israel will now be, if you will, witnesses of Jesus Christ. Understand, there's only one way to heaven. Again, people misunderstand this. They say, wait a minute, you say a remnant is going to be saved, which we'll talk about as we keep going. A remnant will be saved, but how's that possible? Does God just give them a free pass? No, they recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. They turned to him. Now, understand something else, too. What's important for the Jews to do is that they need to rebuild their temple. That seems weird, though, doesn't it? And again, the church will argue and say, wait a minute, we don't need the temple anymore. We're saved. Well, at this point, the Jews are not. Now, a couple other scriptures I want to throw at you. Not literally. I've got to find where I'm at. I'm kind of jumping around here, so forgive me. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, which we will get to. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. So the church is taken out of the way, and then what happens is Israel goes, because the Antichrist comes in too during this time. He sets himself up in the temple as God. It's known as what Jesus says, the abomination of desolation. This has been played out before. Antiochus Epiphanes did the same thing. Maccabeans, you've heard of them, right? That's how they did. They cleansed the temple. Why? Because what he did was he offered a pig there, and there's a big war because of this. And it was known as the abomination of desolation because he was setting up Zeus and himself as God in the temple, in God's temple. Now, again, this is going to happen in the future. The Antichrist is going to go in there, Revelation speaks of, and declares himself as God. The Jews, again, Jesus says in chapter 24, when you see the abomination desolation, when you see the false Christ sets himself up in my temple, run and pray that it does not happen during the Sabbath. Run. Don't grab anything from home. Just get out of there. And then again, it says that God will give them wings of eagles and deliver them for the 3.5-year period. Jesus is coming back. Where is he coming back? To Israel. In fact, it speaks of him coming back, if you will, on the Mount of Olives. Find that one. I am jumping around here. Forgive me. But it's fascinating to me. This is where I need the elevator music. I should probably touch that too, don't I? Okay, let's back up. Hold that thought. Let's go back to Romans. Found that. Okay, good. Okay, now notice again. Look at verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom and we would have become like Gomorrah. That word is, again, it's, if you will, Sabaoth. It's not Sabbath. It means host. It means the Lord of the armies of Israel, spoken of in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. It's the Lord of the armies of Israel. Well, who is the captain of the Lord of the armies of Israel? It's Jesus. Jesus is coming back. And what he will do, found in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem. On the east and on the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and the other towards the south. Now, why? Because in Revelation, again, it speaks of Satan bringing all the armies of the world to a valley, or what we call Armageddon, which actually means Mount of Megiddo. There's a valley called Megiddo. It's a very large valley. In fact, Napoleon saw it, and when he saw it, he goes, yep, I can see where the whole population wasn't as big then. He said, yes, I can see how all the armies of the world can fight in this valley, because it's pretty large. Now, why would Satan bring all the armies to Megiddo? Why? Because of this passage. And, like I said before, he's trying to destroy the nation Israel. Why? Because then it breaks the promises of God. And God is now declared a liar. We know something. God is not a liar. God's word is truth. The second reason, as the scripture says, is that this army, again, influenced by Satan, actually tried to shoot Jesus down. They tried to maybe nuke him, the one who holds everything in his hand in creation. Everything. Satan knows that Jesus has to come to Israel. Jesus has to put his foot on the Mount of Olives, which is a mount right next to Jerusalem. He knows this. That's why, again, it's such an important part in land right now. Remember, I've told you this. If you look at a clock prophetically, if you look at, if you will, the hour hand is Israel. The minute hand, if you will, is Jerusalem. The second hand is that Temple Mount. It's got to be rebuilt. So, if you will, the church, as it is dismissed from this world, all the focus, even now, though, is becoming on Israel. The only other thing I would say is, if you've noticed this, more persecution has happened to the Christian now more than ever. Christians are being persecuted everywhere in the world. And it's coming to a theater near you. You shall be persecuted. Oh, not just because, oh, you're a Christian, you bigot. Not just that. But could be physically, not to scare you. Why? Because again, this is something that we have got to face. Each one of us. That God is requiring of you to give your life for Him. Even in death. Does that scare you? It scares me. I'll be honest with you. If you're telling me somebody came in here and said, who's a Christian? I'd point at Caleb, of course. Caleb, he's the only Christian in here. Shoot him. But I pray and I trust that God will give me the strength and the courage to stand for Him. None of us have it in ourselves, but it's Christ in you. That gives you the boldness. That gives you the lioness. Don't worry if it happens. Don't worry what kind of persecution it happens. Live your life. Be a light. You are Christ. Little Christ here. You're not Christ. You're little Christ here. You're His representative. You're the light of the world. You're the ones that's keeping more morality in this country. Vote. Vote for what's right. Sign the petition about abortion, non-abortion. Do the things that you know you need to do as a citizen of this country. You have that right. This is not a dictatorship. This isn't we're supposed to follow the government blindly. That's in our Constitution. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to look at things and say, hey, this is wrong, and stand up. Not hatred. We don't hate those that are sinners. We're supposed to be showing them why? Because we're sinners. We've been forgiven. Remember the slow river we talked about last week? We were called. We went on the narrow path. Jesus said, this is the way. We said, you're right. It's the way I want out of this. And you and I have been born again. That seed is still there. I know some of you feel like, man, I'm weak. I'm not growing. I'm sinning still. It's there. God is changing you. You are being transformed. Not because I'm telling you this, because God tells you this. It's His promise. It's His word. This world is harder than it's ever been. Parents, hang in there. This is the toughest generation to be parents. It used to be when my dad, yeah, I've told this story millions of times. When I wanted to go out, especially when I was like 14 years old, I'd go down there. My dad'd be sitting on his throne. I'd be going, Dad, can I go out with my buddies? They're coming over. He'd go, where are you going? What are you doing? Remember this. Danger with young boys is this. Time and nothing to do. Be careful out there. That was my warning. Now there's a greater warning for all of you. What's coming into your house? We're all subject to this. The enemy is infiltrating our houses by our pads, by our television, by our radios. You have a tough job. And I hope and pray that just that, you're on your knees praying. And don't be so hard on yourself, but be wise. We all have to be wise. Let me tell you, folks, I'm here with you. I'll be honest with you, it said old movie bloopers. We're talking 30, 40s. I'm thinking, what could be so bad about this? I watched 5 of them. Every one of them said the Lord's name in vain. That was their blooper. And I thought, what am I listening to? It's all around us. The enemy is trying to get into your head. If he can get into your head, he can create doubt and fear. If he can get you there, then he can separate you from God's love. For God loves cast out fear. Do you really believe God has you this morning? Understand something. The Jews don't. Now, remember I said that see what's going to happen. The notes are just going away here, folks. See, what's going to happen is God has called the Jews back to their land. Now, there was Bible prophecy, even J. Vernon McGee way back in the 70s. He says, well, this can't be it because they're not turning to God. Guess what they're doing? They're turning to God now. And Ezekiel chapter 37, you know, the bones, the dry bones. God was speaking of the nation Israel. And he was saying that they're going to be dry at first. I'm going to breathe life into them. So what's happening is a transformation in Israel. If you will, the church is holding and giving the baton to the Jewish people. Why? Because they will become, many of them, Jewish Christians. They will be the leaders, not the church. If you look at the church that's going to be left behind, I think they left Jesus outside the door. And see, what we're trying to do here is keep encouraging each other. Jesus Christ is the center of our lives. How does that work and play out in our lives in a day-to-day manner? That truth that we know exists in us. How do we continue to feed ourselves, to grow, to get excited? Why am I animated? Because this really is a passion of mine. My perfect? No. But I know Him who is perfect. And I know He's doing a work in me. I can't get away with anything. Thank God. Can you? Because if you can, think twice. Oh, don't get me wrong. Just like I said, that narrow path, all the temptations around us, sometimes we kind of step into the water, don't we? And then we realize, oh, what did I do? It's, again, centering our lives on Christ, understanding the things that are happening in this world today has been written down. It's going to happen. The enemy knows the book. He knows the playbook. He knows what's going on. He knows what God's doing. Why do you think the Jews have won, have remained? Number two, why has He persecuted them this whole time? And why is it, think with me, the church, especially in Western civilization, was kind of like in a bubble for the longest time. It's because God was using Western civilization to send out missionaries to grow. Actually, in this country, first, it was just in the frontier to tell other people about Christ. The world needs to hear about Him. For he is the Savior of the Gentile and the Jew. There's only one. No other name is given among men by which we must be saved except Jesus Christ. That's it. He's the only hope. He's not a good moral teacher. He's not a good guy. He's not a loving God that accepts everybody, lifestyle and all. That's not why he came. He came because we're messed up. We're broken. We're all hurting. We're all struggling. And he says, I am the way. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? I am the purpose for life. Do you believe this? I'm changing you. Do you believe this? Are you walking with me if you do? Practicing the presence of God, or in this case, Jesus, it's a moment by moment thing. And I hope all of you are reading your word. I am getting off script here. Reading your word, praying, coming to church, making this a priority, not because you're listening to Bozo up here, but because you're opening God's word and you're saying, God, speak to me. I want to hear. I want to grow. I want to hear your voice and become stronger. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What's stirring in your heart is not just me speaking in my passion. It's God's spirit taking that germ word into your heart and making it grow, germinating it. To encourage you, to excite you. To rest assure you, God is sovereign. God is in control. So I will conclude. Like I said, I don't know where I went with some of this. There's too many scriptures that I was trying to figure out this morning, actually. Listen to me. These seven things I want you to take consideration. First of all, understand why the world is against the Jews. Not because they are Christ killers. Last time I checked, he was hung on a Roman cross. Both Jews and Gentiles are guilty. Put it this way. The whole world is guilty. We're all guilty. Second thing. They are chosen people, a chosen nation. He is not done with them. Why? Because God declares it. Isaiah 44. I found this one. Yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on the descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows to the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and the name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer. The Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. It's Isaiah chapter 44, spoken to the nation Israel. So understand, God is not done with them. Understand, number three, God has given them that land. That is their land. God has says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Forever. It's God's promise to the nation Israel. Jeremiah says, and the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now, every one of his evil way and of his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. An argument against those that says, no, what they did was they sinned, they failed, so God reneged on those promises. It wasn't conditioned on their behavior. Just like your faith is not conditioned in your behavior. You're not a Christian because you're a good person, Mark. I'm sorry, dude. I'm just telling you're a great drywall. I'll tell you. And you're a great teacher. And you're a great prankster. I understand because of what you did to my wife. But I'm sorry, Mark. It doesn't get you into heaven. It just doesn't. What gets you into heaven is that you believe that you're a sinner. And you came to faith in Jesus Christ, just as all of us. Just because Mark's taller than Kevin doesn't make him holier than Kevin. Kevin's got gray hair. Number four, they play an important part in Bible prophecy, and this may take me a while, so I will bypass this, but I gave you a couple. One is the temple has to be built, and Jesus is coming back to Israel, Jerusalem, not to America, though the world will see him. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying, though, when he puts his foot down, it's on the Mount of Olives, and he splits it. That's a pretty amazing thing. You know, sidestep. Oh, I better not. I'm getting late. Let's keep going. I got to keep on track here, folks. Fifth, pray for them. Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper, you who love them. Pray for Israel. Number six, support them. Pray for them if you can financially support them, or if you just encourage them. In Genesis 12:3, he was talking to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all your families of the earth shall be blessed. Understand, one of the blessings of the United States has been because they've been their biggest supporter. Many believe that the problems the United States is facing right now is because they're turning their back on Israel. Now remember, that has nothing to do with the church. That has something to do with the nation. But I will say this. I pity the church that turns their back on Jewish people. Many believe the proverb that Jesus said about giving a cold water to anyone, one of his, is the Jewish people. That's who he was speaking to. Many believe he was identifying with the Jews. The Jews are the ones that are going to get, if you will, the worst of this. Because they're staying. Number seven, share your faith with them. Or support ministries that do. There's several of them out there. It's interesting where governments are turning their backs on them, but Christian, good Christian ministry, Christian Jew ministries, if you will, are supporting them, sharing their faith. I'm hearing reports of many Jews coming to Christ in Israel because, again, the situation they are in, they are by themselves. And the only support they get is from God-fearing, evangelistic Christians. Now, what does that say about people that don't believe in the Israel, in the Jewish nation, churches? That's not my call. I'm not to judge them. I think they're wrong. But they're Christians. Christ is their Savior. I just think they're going to get a good talking to when they see Jesus face to face. That's all. Because why? Because regardless how you feel, we are to love all people. And if your blind eyes are not looking at what's happening to the Jews right now, then you need to pull them out. It's amazing. Again, except that we already went through this. Why? But if you just humanly think about it, it makes no sense. I don't get it. Just humanly speaking. Why persecute a little people on the earth that only has 15 million people? Heck, that's what? The size of a couple states right here. Small. These are small states. Why? It's because Satan hates them. But anyway, it's like I said, I kind of went off script. We kind of went all over the place. I hope you take it to heart. And I hope, again, all of us continue to pray for Israel. In fact, let's pray for them right now. Father, we just lift up the Jews to you. We pray first and foremost that they would come to Christ, their Messiah. That they would see that he is the one that took the penalty of their sins upon a cross. That they would come to faith in a strong way, Lord. And that they would represent you, the true and living God. Father, we pray for your protection upon them as the world is coming against them. We pray, Lord, that you would show yourself strong on their behalf. We do know in your word you say you will. So, Father, we just pray that as this time again winds down, though nobody knows the day or the hour, but we do see how that minute hand is keeps moving, Lord. And we want to be ready. We pray, Father, that you would protect the children of Israel. We pray that they would come to faith. But Lord, we also understand you've come for the whole world. So we also pray for the Arabs. We pray for the Muslims that are against them. We pray that you would continue to reach out to them in visions and in dreams, that you would keep sending other people out there to share their faith, even to the death. But Lord, we do know that you're doing a work in Iran and other places, that they would come to faith. We pray for the Christians in China, Lord, that you would again protect them, help them to continue to be the lights that they are in Afghanistan and other places too, where they call out to be your children, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen and protect them. And Lord, that you'd give them the courage that they must face in a day-to-day matter of facing life and death. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. We're weak over here, Lord. We really have had a cushioned life. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus on you, trusting that you will give us the strength and courage to face day to day. I pray for the parents here that you'd give them wisdom in raising their children. But I also pray for all of us that you'd give us wisdom in what we take in a day-to-day matter. Help us, Lord, daily be walking with you, moment by moment, practicing your presence, for you are here with us, even now. But as we walk out those doors, you're still with us. Help us to stay with you. Bless this congregation. Use them in these days, Lord, I pray. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.